That are faithful, today is the Feast of All Saints. I saw a great multitude, which no man could number, standing before the throne of the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. These words are taken from the Epistle of the Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, there was once a young man who had given himself up to a life of crime and wickedness. He was actually a member of a lawless band known as the Sicarii, which was one of the scourges of the Holy Land in ancient times. But other than this, we know very little about his life. We do know that after some time, he was finally apprehended and punished for his crimes. He was sentenced to death in the company of two other criminals. The death to which he was sentenced was the cruel death of crucifixion. On the day of execution, this man and the other criminals were fastened to their crosses and raised up in a row for all to see on a hill outside a large city. The people could see and mock and deride as they went by. The man in the center of the row seemed to be the object of hatred. Both people and soldiers alike seemed to take a special pleasure in heaping insults and scorn upon him. And the other two criminals, hanging upon their crosses, even joined in this mockery. After accepting this abuse in silence for some time, the man hanging on the middle cross finally broke his silence. "Father," he said, "forgive them, for they do not know what they do." It was spoken very quietly, and for a moment the robber on this man's right wasn't sure that he had heard the words correctly. And yet there could be no doubt that the man upon whom insults were being heaped was praying for the men who were putting him to death. The criminal on the left of the central cross continued his abuse, but the robber on the right side grew silent, for the words he had just heard had touched his heart. Forgiveness and mercy were very strange ideas to this hardened criminal. But this remarkable man by his side was so patient, so charitable, that the now silent thief began to wonder what it would be like to share in the forgiveness which he had heard spoken of in that prayer. "Father, forgive them." At any rate, the robber decided there was no reason why he and his fellow robber should continue to mock and deride such a patient and humble man. So he rebuked the other thief. He said, "Neither dost thou fear God, seeing thou art under the same condemnation." That is, how can you continue to abuse this man when you're being put to death the same way he is? And no sooner had the robber said those words than a tremendous grace flooded his soul. And continuing, he said to the other thief, "And we indeed justly, for we have received the reward of our deeds. But this man hath done no evil." And that statement was an admission of guilt, an act of contrition. And it was a declaration that the man between them was innocent of any crime. And then this penitent thief, turning his head to the man in the center, said, "Lord, remember me when thou shalt come into thy kingdom." That was a profession of faith. Faith that this man was more than a man, that he was the Lord and the master of a kingdom where mercy and patience and meekness reigned supreme. And having thus heard this humble admission of guilt, expression of contrition, and profession of faith, the God-man in the center painfully turned toward that dying criminal and gave him the promise of paradise. The thief had asked our Lord to remember him. He asked that our Lord would think of him once in a while from his throne in heaven. But for having cooperated with grace, he heard from the mouth of God himself the most beautiful words ever to sound in human ears. Amen, amen, I say to you, this day, very soon, you will be with me in paradise. And now he is known to us as Saint Dismas, the good thief. You know, my dear faithful, there's many different types of saints in heaven. Innocent and penitent. Great apostles, humble and obscure souls whose names perhaps we will never know until the last day. A certain bishop says that sanctity is the fervent surrender of oneself to God and the practice of virtue. It is the surrender of ourselves, the surrender of our wills to God's will, loving what he loves and shunning what he hates. Sanctity means the habitual practice of virtue in all places and at all times. And of course, we know, you have heard before, that sanctity or holiness is not for a chosen few. It's the general vocation of all mankind. It's what each and every one of us were created for. God didn't create anyone to be mediocre, and he didn't create anyone to love him with half a heart. He created us for the closest, most loving union with himself imaginable. Of course, ordinarily, the process of sanctification is just that. It is a process. It is a path we walk one day at a time. It begins with living in the state of sanctifying grace, making time for daily prayer, especially the rosary, and then receiving the sacraments as often as we can. Next, we must resolve to avoid deliberate venial sin, examining ourselves in this regard every day, holding ourselves accountable, striving to do better each day. We must live the Beatitudes as our Lord listed them in the Gospel for the Mass today. We must be poor in spirit, that is, unattached to the things of this world. We must be pure of heart, clean of heart. We must be peacemakers. We must be at peace with those around us. We must be meek towards them. Finally, we must accept the crosses that God sends us, especially those connected with the duties of our state and life, with a cheerful resignation to his will. This does not all happen overnight, but we can make progress every day. And that's what matters. That's what our Lord is looking for. He's looking for that fervent and zealous heart that tries to be just a little bit better each day for love of him. If that's our attitude, he is going to crown our efforts with success. Indeed, the Church instituted the Feast of All Saints for this very reason, to remind us that there are saints in heaven from every walk of life, husbands and wives and fathers and mothers, children, the rich and the poor, priests, religious and laity. They're all there and we can imitate them. There's no reason we can't become like them. And this is not only for our own sake, it's not even only for the honor and glory that it gives God. It's also for the good that we can do around us. The graces that we can earn for society, the power of our prayers for America. The prayers and sacrifices of a holy person, a person who is on fire with love for God, they can do great things. The devil told St. John Vianney, if there were four of you priests in the world, my kingdom would be done. That's the power of a saint cooperating with God's grace. St. Francis of Assisi used to say, sanctify yourself and you will save society. St. John Bosco, whenever people would complain to him about the state of the world or the wickedness of men, the evils of politicians, St. John Bosco had one answer. He would say, my friend, you and I have to become saints. That was his solution. You know, those people who stood on Calvary that first Good Friday probably looked up at St. Dismas, probably thought to themselves, what a waste. What a wasted, wretched life. What a miserable death. He's dying for nothing. A wretched life, maybe. But they were very wrong about his death. The good thief, though he had been a criminal, perfectly conformed his will to Almighty God's in his last moments. And he accepted a painful death as the punishment for his crimes. Aim high, my dear faithful, and strive for that degree of holiness that God holds out to you. And you too will hear those beautiful words someday. Amen, amen, I say to you, this day you shall be with me in paradise. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.